gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But
Glorious! Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward!
Welcome to WrestleMania!
Welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
Three-time wrestling author Oliver Newman.
Good evening, everyone.
And Grapple Arcade's Mark Fox.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing this evening, lads?
Good. You?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
I'm tired.
Yeah, all good here, thanks. Much like Nick, a few restless nights because of watching TakeOver and WrestleMania and stuff, but it's all good. Part of being a wrestling fan.
Indeed.
So,
second win for tonight, lads. Second win, SmackDown's a little later.
Oh, no, that's enough for me. I've taped SmackDown, I'll watch it tomorrow.
Please be aware, you must tape SmackDown on Sky Sports Mix, so if you've got it as a series link, it won't record.
Okay. I didn't know that, Nick.
Yes, that's true. It's useful advice.
It is. It is indeed.
I'll do that, Nick. I'll do that now, Nick. Thanks for that.
That's right. I'll wake up in the morning and be disappointed.
I'd be very disappointed.
Give me a cup of tea or something, I'd be thrown.
Cool. So we've decided to mainly focus our WrestleMania review on the title changes, but I want to start the first couple of minutes. If anyone wants to have a good moan. Nick, was there anything you want to grind your gears about on Mania?
Yeah, okay, I've got to go for one Kurt Angle losing.
Yeah.
So I know some people may agree if it's the right decision to put a new star over, but it's the end of a fantastic career. I quite like the way they're building it up to the retirement match. You know, I would have personally just given them the win, the send-off, and I would have had it as that.
Yeah, if you compare it to Ric Flair's last match and the build up to that, they could have put it. I think it would have been so much better if they did it against Cena or somebody more attuned to his career.
Yeah, someone like that. Yeah, they did even work it to like a bit of a storyline like that almost. If someone who respects him but sort of uses the phrase old Yeller.
Yeah.
That'd be misery, that'd make more sense rather than a heel. I guess it will obviously get Corbin over. It'll be interesting to see what treatment he gets on Raw. That's the only moan I can think of for me. I'm sure a few will appear throughout the show, but that's on the top of my head because overall it's obviously a fantastic show. But
yeah, Oliver, have you got anything?
I guess Samoa Joe and Mysterio not going long. That was frustrating. I know Mysterio's carrying an injury, but that would have been a really good match. And the crowd for the Cruiserweight title match between Tony Nese and Buddy Murphy, those guys went out there and, you know, were trying to kill each other in terms of the risks they were taking.
Yeah.
But it was a very hard crowd in the early going.
I think it was only half full as well.
That's totally frustrating because obviously they're busting their ass and yeah, it's one of the bad things about a stadium WrestleMania. The kind of noise takes a while to get circulated around the stadium.
Mm.
So I thought watching that part live on the kickoff that their fans didn't react the way they should have really for a really good match.
Yeah, Mark?
Yeah, I agree with Nick. I think everybody and a dog going into WrestleMania weren't massively pleased with the match that was announced anyway.
No.
People thought there might have been a swerve. but unfortunately there wasn't. I appreciate the whole concept of getting the young, fresh, youngster over from a veteran. I think this was the wrong place to do that, if that was the idea, and the wrong person to do it with in both accounts, because I don't think Corbin works. I don't think there's that many people that believe he works, apart from those who are against the grain. Like, as it currently is, I don't know why he comes out dressed in somebody who's going to take your suit to the dry cleaners. I don't know. I don't know what his gimmick is at the moment, really, since he left his general manager position. No. And I think that Angle losing on his farewell WrestleMania match to a bit of a character that nobody's actually even bothered about, let alone somebody who needs to be put over. Like, do you know what I mean? I think it was a bit of a waste and unfortunate for Angle. They could have done something more. If they were going to do a sort of throwaway thing, then they could have done something with a milk truck, for example, just something random.
Yeah.
Just a sort of bit of a nostalgic spark. I suppose, apart from that, I think there was a bit of a lack of, what's the word I'm trying to think of? They didn't hit home the nostalgia fact like they do some years.
Yeah.
Especially with the Hall of Fame the day before. I think they could have potentially have even had something fun between Honky Tonky Man and Elias. I know that
was
going to
be,
I thought Cena's, his skit in that was fantastic. I absolutely loved every second of that skit leader with Elias. That was brilliant. It's really, really fun. But I think you could have even added Honky Tonky Man to that mix, just for a bit of crack, just have a bit of nostalgia, the Legends concept to it. I'm not much of a celebrity person anyway, but it felt like it was lacking that area for a WrestleMania. So, yeah, there wasn't really, in terms of wrestling, that much to moan about. I think there was a couple of matches, as Oliver pointed out, like they were a bit underwhelming, a bit short. They weren't maybe up to the gravitas that you'd expect from the people who were wrestling in the ring. They weren't poor, they just weren't amazing that you'd want them to be because of who was in the ring. But they were probably told not to go full speed and full throttle because they weren't the main event, you know. But apart from that, no, I haven't got many grumbles at all. I mean, not at all. I think that's it. I kind of agree with the other two lads with everything they've said.
Did any of you find any of the comedy spots funny? I didn't find any of them funny.
Was the comedy spots?
Well, Hulk Hogan said the wrong stadium name again. There's a therapist spot in the Battle Royal that wasn't funny.
If I was in the live audience, I'd have loved the Hogan. I reckon if I was at WrestleMania, because I was there last year.
Yeah.
If I was.
wondered how long it would take you to mention that.
I would have loved that.
10 minutes.
I'd love to hear Hulk's music, but I love the Fuganamus, Dr.
Fuganamus.
I loved it. I had a lot of time for it.
Yeah.
I didn't know what they were doing at the start.
Well, surely you could have done the Dr. Fuganomics. I said this to Chris, and I'm not sure if you was on the show, Nick, but that the rumour going round was that Corbin was going to get tapped out quickly, and then John Cena's going to come out, and then they'd fight Angle against Cena. Well, surely you could have done the Doctor of Fuganomics against Kurt Angle after he'd beat John Cena. So you still could have had that, but I didn't go down that route. The only other thing that, you know, grinded my gears was the placement of matches.
It was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, the way certain matches were placed in front of others. I guess it made sense when you watched the whole show, but at the time I was thinking, wait a second, there's this match and it's being put in front of, say, the WWE title. If that just doesn't make sense to me. So that's probably one of the main things that would... That annoyed me.
I pretty much have no complaints up until Kofi. But then I think there's a lot of fat that could have been cut out between the Kofi and the main events. They could have cut.
There was a lot of filler, wasn't there? I think there was a lot of filler in general. As wrestling, you know, as any pay-per-views are, there's quite a lot of filler.
Do you need a filler when you've got 5.5 hours?
Just to use names when really the matches didn't really accumulate to anything for me. For example, I thought the Reigns and Drew match was a bit of a waste. I really wanted something more from Reigns' return and the push that everybody wants or is expecting Drew to get. So
I really wanted Drew to win, Mark.
Yeah, I think that would have
really
been great.
Really wanted him to win.
But it would have solidified his kind of, you know, the dastardly heel who's literally just taken out the dude who's just beaten cancer kind of approach, wouldn't it? You know, it would have solidified
exactly
that. And yeah, I don't really understand where they went with that match, and neither of them put the shift in for me. It was kind of a bit, you know, middle gear.
In all honesty, I said to Chris, I said I don't care if he cheats, just win this match because.
Yeah, yeah.
They really should go with Drew McIntyre in 2019, and he needs to beat someone of Roman Reigns' caliber to get to that point.
I know. I think the should have been that one. Like, I think they probably didn't want to do it because Reigns had come back, and they just thought, oh, let's go for the feel good factor. And it was the wrong decision. I agree with you, man.
Well, if the feud continues, let's just hope he wins it in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they wasted General Bliss as the general guest host. She looked like a Make-A-Wish kid when she was posing with her favourite wrestler, Hulk Hogan.
Oh, that was ridiculous, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really understand the point because, they didn't really do very much with her at all. I thought she'd have had more of a presence and maybe even sort of made a face, made a name known, if you like, during the sort of... During the title match, the women's matches, just to sort of say, look, I'm still relevant. You know what I mean? Not necessarily get involved, but be visually present in some capacity. Just to kind of... Because I think, without getting into it, I think that's been the issue for the last couple of months. There's been emphasis on three women, and the rest of them have been forged tag teams and things like that, or had belts taken off them for the sake of it, like Asuka. And it's... Everybody else is very, very second fiddle to the three main eventers, which is for me why they need an IC belt in there for the women. But I just think, it was very obvious last night that there's a very big, massive divide between Charlotte, Rousey, and Lynch, and then everybody else. It just seemed very clear cut to me.
Definitely.
Watching Mania, even, sorry.
Yeah, I think that. Do you think Triple H has only just seen Mad Max Fury Road? Because that film's 4 years old.
I'll just quickly finish off my little grumble on this one. Right, the CGI graphics that they use. What is going on, man?
How have they?
They are absolutely atrocious. It feels like an animation studio in Europe has just come across some kind of really cheap knockoff version of Photoshop and knock together some really crap sort of graphics that they've just thrown on a YouTube. They're awful. They're absolutely awful.
Them terrible knockoff Pixar films you could get.
Did
anyone else wonder why, obviously, John Cena's from Boston and I think the Boston Red Sox and stuff. What's going to be the response when he goes back to Boston after wearing a Yankees outfit?
I didn't get the whole Babe Ruth thing before. I was like, what the hell's happening here? And I was like, is it that mean?
Word lad. This ring talking now. I'm on
it. And they could have put...
Of course, they were talking about the Chicago Cubs.
Mm.
Is there any possibility of CM Punk being here? Because why Chicago?
Well.
Why randomly turns up? It would have been amazing if he had interrupted Elias, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
CM Punk just gives him the go to sleep.
The weirdest way to bring someone back.
And what was the point of it? What was the point of that intro bit? Because it was surely that's a way to... They're playing something in the hometown, so that's more of a face thing to do. But even in his actual rap, he said, I'm a heel. Like, so...
Turning heel on face Cena? That's the impression I got. Because he kept saying Al's films are terrible.
which is naturally winning the crowd over.
Yeah.
All sorts of fourth walls being smashed out there.
With the scene at Triple H Batista, I think they could have cut at least 10 minutes out of that. I thought the first 10 minutes were brilliant, where they got the weapons, but then it went into a normal match for a bit, and they were knackered.
I was quite happy with it, to be honest.
25 minutes.
Too many grumbles about that. It was a lot better than I was expecting it to be, so I don't mind too much.
I don't think it needed to be 25 minutes long. Plus, probably half an hour if you had the entrances in. So.
Well, I was looking forward to it. It was a bit of Savage, the nose ring incident.
Yeah.
Oh, that was...
I thought it was cool as hell.
And for the record, there's nothing more uncooler than Michael Cole shouting, "How cool was that?" at his entrance, which I did quite enjoy, to be fair. But do you think,
what did we think about up? Batista versus Triple H?
I thought it was good for 10 minutes.
Did he go 10 minutes or did he go longer than that? 25 minutes.
It's the longest match on the show.
I thought it was one of the best matches on the card, to be honest.
I agree. They could have cut so much out of that. It didn't feel like 25 minutes, personally. For me, I thought I went into that not expecting very much from it.
They both looked in unreal condition as well.
They're both exactly
the same as you, Mark. I went in there and it was like under promise and over delivered, didn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
If it had been the Attitude Era and that had been a main event, we'd be talking about that for years to come.
I absolutely agree. And I think there's a couple of other matches on the show as well that seem to be getting a little bit of flack from the webs in general. But I thought, you know, turn the clock back 20 years ago and people would be creaming about it, to be honest.
Yeah, but let's face it, you're not going to please anyone.
Anyone's the key. You're not going to please anyone.
The thing is, I think you'll probably still get people out there who say, "Oh, why is Batista Triple H not on the? Why is that on the show when the Cruiserweight title's on the? It's on the pre-show." Don't get me wrong. I'm not disrespecting the Cruiserweights, but then obviously you have to look at it from obviously people who casually watch wrestling. What's gonna buy people in a half an hour bout between Triple H and Batista, or a half an hour bout between Tony Nese and Cedric Alexander? I mean,
completely.
There's nothing against those two superstars.
No, you're right. It's the same people who grumble about it. And in all fairness, and no disrespect to anybody who does grumble about it, everybody's entitled to the views on wrestling. But it's the same people who are saying, you know, take over, absolutely trounced WrestleMania. But yeah, but that's from a perspective of somebody who might say, Sirloin steaks better than Space Raiders. You know what I mean? They're both food groups, but very different beasts. And
Space Raiders, man. When I was a kid, that brings back some memories.
Could the top five matches on this go up against the Takeover? Could the best five matches on this Mania go up against the Takeover from Friday?
No chance. Takeover was on a different level.
I think it's the completely different things. That's what I sort of mean by that point. Yeah. It's like I'm an absolute diehard NXT fan, but I enjoy WWE for what it is and what it's offering me. I go into WrestleMania knowing it's just going to be a circus theatre thing, really.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great fun and it's a good laugh, and then you get if you get more than fun and a laugh, then brilliant. But we all know that they're tweezing things in there as much as they can because it's just a money turnover. It's, you know, it is what it is. And if you get some cracking matches out of it, then you've won. But I don't think I think it's really, really difficult. I've only just come to terms with that in the last sort of year or so, to be honest. Because I used to be one of the people who said they aren't a patch on NXT, they aren't a patch. You know, I was. I don't mind admitting that. But I think now there's just two separate beasts altogether.
In all honesty, if you put Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan up against NXT TakeOver on Friday night, you got a chance. I thought that match was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, we'll come on to that in a sec.
I also think what really helps is simple, and it's a simple fact, that Raniello, I think he just makes such a big difference.
He could probably make
a 5-minute squash match of the year.
Definitely. I think, to be honest with you, if you took half of the WWE matches that were on, at least half of them, and you said to them, right, you guys are performing on NXT TakeOver, wrestle in the NXT style, they'd smash it. They'd absolutely smash it.
Mm.
But they know that they have to wrestle WWE style on the roster, and hence why nobody's absolutely massively raving, even though I thought the tag match was absolutely fantastic, which we'll get into in a bit.
Mm.
But
are we talking about the Raw tag match, Mark?
The Ricochet and Alistair as a tag team.
Four corners.
Yeah, the four corners.
Did you guys not rate the Raw tag team match? I thought that was fantastic.
I thought it was good.
That was probably my fourth favourite match on the whole entire show.
And if you just if you stuck half of these matches on NXT and said to them you're wrestling NXT style, I think you know what I mean. I think you know what I'm getting at. The wrestling in the WWE style, because it's the WWE style rather than the NXT sort of, right, let's go all guns out blazing. So that's why I think it's difficult to compare them both.
The last one is America the Beautiful is an awful song. I don't know why we get subjected to it every year.
Hello everyone, this is the interview queen, Alicia Too, and you're listening to me on Broken But Glorious.
Alright, so we'll come on to the main event, so we'll start backwards. We'll start with the actual main event. So Charlotte gets a version of a old Ric Flair Great American Bash entrance, robing in the helicopter. And then Ronda gets Joan Jett playing into the ring, and Becky gets a normal entrance. I thought the match was very good. I think it was a great format. The layout was really good. The end was a bit clunky. Are you in the thoughts that it was a bit of a botchy ending? Or?
Yeah, it was a botch. It looked like on the replay, Lord Rousey had Becky's shoulders down. So they tried. It looked like a bit of
the contentious ending. If they've done it as a contentious ending, I'm gutted if it's gone that way, to be honest.
Mm.
It should have just been Becky beating Rousey and then going forward as the champion. But they've done a contentious ending, which means, you know, we're probably going to see Becky and Ronda again.
Ronda's broke her hand, doesn't she?
Which would be great, because we wanted to see them one-on-one in the first place, but...
Yeah.
Left a bit of a sour taste in my mouth, that did.
Yeah.
I personally haven't got too much of a problem with it, because Ronda's definitely going to be coming back, and I'd rather she comes back as the sort of, you didn't beat me, bitchy heel, kind of persona, and it's the perfect sort of segment.
My favourite bit of the match was when she said, tables.
I just don't think it looked very good, if you know what I mean.
Just trying to heal, so I think, yeah, sure. They've definitely got a feud in Becky and Ronda. Yeah.
Definitely.
She's legitimately broke her hand, so I think she'll be out for a while.
I think that's a good thing, to be honest. I think she needs a little bit of a breather.
Yeah.
How did she legitimately break her hand?
During the match. I don't know what part.
I didn't notice it.
No. But I think it would have been more satisfying if Lynch made somebody submit. That's the only real problem I've got with the finish.
Say that again, Chris.
I think it would have been more satisfied if Lynch made somebody submit.
Yeah.
That's
I see what you mean.
As all three of them are submission-based wrestlers.
It's tricky. Because I think whoever gets beat, I think the only person that could get beat in that situation is Rousey. I don't think it helps Flair if Flair gets beat by anybody, because it just shows that she's third fiddle.
Yeah.
I think they need to keep her strong, and I think by her not being involved in the finish, it keeps her strong. I think it would have been good to see Becky beating Rousey, maybe through some hijinks or whatever, you know what I mean, but still beating her decisively. I didn't mind it too much. I think it looked worse than what it was maybe penciled down to be on paper. If that makes sense.
Yeah, apparently it was changed not quite late. It was meant to be Lynch submitting Charlotte, but they changed the finish quite late, so they probably didn't have time to practice it properly.
I'm glad they changed the finish. And I'd rather go with a slightly clunky finish over Charlotte getting beat cleanly. Like, just what does that do for her going forward? Especially now that Rousey's going to be out.
Mm.
But, you know, it's just, I'd rather Charlotte looks strong, Becky looks strong, Rousey coming back in the future with more of an attitude than usual, and then hopefully between now and then we'll have maybe even some call-ups, because we'd do some call-ups as post-Mania, so who knows maybe.
Yeah, it's got the shake-ups next Monday. So.
We should hope to get the actual split, though, as well, so we know who's actually where. Because right now it's a bit of a... with the build-up to when it's a bit of a mess.
Who's
where, really. So I think after, hopefully, next week, we'll...
That's
presuming there is... I imagine there still is a superstar shake-up.
I think it's... Yeah, I think
next week on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, that's what I knew. It was advertised way before, so I haven't seen Raw or SmackDown yet, so... I'm not sure. Well, obviously, no one's seen SmackDown yet, but...
if you managed to see SmackDown, Nick, you've done some amazing magical work there, mate.
I did say I'd invent time travelling, so...
yeah, well, if you invented time travelling, I'm sure you'd go back to New Orleans, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
You've got a really, really good Skype planner recorder, haven't you, Nick? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Can record in the future.
In terms of Rosie... Becky and Charlotte, in terms of how it ended and stuff, I agree with Mark. The right ending was for Becky to beat Rosie. I didn't think she'd make a tap. She might have made a pass out, I guess. But the pinfall is fine by me. I just didn't like it being contentious. But by the same token, you know, it leads to a rematch down the line.
Did you hear that WWE apparently told the New Jersey Transport office that this show will finish 2 hours earlier? So they set all the trains to finish at a normal time. So
why everybody took like nearly 2 hours?
80,000 people leave the stadium and there's only like one train on.
Well, I've heard a couple of horror stories about the transport, actually. I know that somebody was charged nearly $200 for an Uber rider, which didn't even turn to pick them up.
Yeah,
So there's been... Apparently it was one of the worst exit jobs so far. There's a lot of people got stuck, because everybody had to go and collect the bags between lockers and stuff, because you weren't allowed to take them into the stadium, apparently.
That could be,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that could
Mark,
be why
did you say it's one of the worst exit jobs or Brexit?
New Orleans was...
Let's not go there even.
You run the risk,
though.
You do run the risk, though, when it's obviously not sending it out. It's like in the middle of nowhere, but obviously most people probably have hotels and stuff in New York. No one's probably put hotels in New Jersey, East Rutherford.
Yeah, so that's it.
In that regard, it is kind of out, especially when you're tourists. You don't know, obviously, right at the back of your hand.
Yeah.
How was New Orleans, Nick, in terms of moving around and stuff last year?
Oh, really easy. Our Airbnb was about 10 minutes away from everything. So, we were quite lucky. But I think the only one...
When I went to Florida, I had a friend of mine kind of ferry me around. So I was lucky in that instance as well.
We did have to get a 40-minute Uber over to the the Progress and all that. A lot of the indie stuff was on the Friday, but that was fine because we were out that way the whole day anyway, because we had a few shows that day. So it was all in the same building. So.
And how many people were in the Uber in terms of cost wise?
Three of us, and it was about $30.
Oh, okay.
And it did turn up, not to be smug.
Right, shall we move on to the Universal Championship match, which surprisingly opened the show? So apparently this was only decided minutes before the show started. This was because it was meant to be AJ versus Orton opening the show.
Yeah, I saw that being talked about, but in all honesty, you could have switched this. I'm glad they didn't, but you could have switched this with the WWE title and had Bryan come out and say, "If I'm not going to be the main event, I'll." Start the show where I want to get out of this awful place. His words, not mine. I love New York and New Jersey. That could have worked as well, but yeah, Heyman doing it and saying they're going to go and do ultimate meetings in Las Vegas was really good as well.
I just love the way they passed Hogan and it gave everyone a bit of a buzz already from the off. Going, this is opening. It gives everyone a bit of a shock factor, but.
Yeah.
But I quite like the way Brock pissed off that he's not main eventing.
Yeah.
So, was the pram? I'll get this over and done with. I'll get this squash match over and done with then and get the hell out of there.
Do you think people...
And the way he played out as well, the twists and turns, because you did think it's going to be another squash match. where it started and what have you, but really well worked storyline. Because you thought that Brock Lesnar was going to retain the title. We all, in the predictions, I think, said that Brock Lesnar was going to retain. Because,
I said so.
You know, all three of the main events wouldn't go the same way, kind of thing. So we all thought that Brock Lesnar would retain, so it was quite a shock when he didn't, really.
I said Seth.
I said Seth as well.
I said Brock Lesnar then.
No, we did have a discussion out of the three which one we think would be the most likeliest one not to happen, but we, in the end, me and Nick did say Seth.
During the discussion, I
don't think I went too high though, my prediction, but random, a bit of a bold, do you reckon they're going to build to a Seth heel turn?
Ooh.
Seth versus who, Nick?
Seth a heel turn. I do prefer Seth as a heel.
The way he acted on the Raw before Mania with him sort of that cheek, like a grin, the little smirk.
I hope not, because when he was in the Authority, I didn't enjoy that much.
Did you not?
I think WWE was in a bad way, that's how shattered WWE was, Nick, at that time.
It was in a bad way, but Seth, I mean, about Seth, I dread to think where it would have been.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. But in terms of this, we've said over the last year or so that probably the two best wrestlers in the company are Seth Rollins and AJ Styles. So Seth Rollins has definitely deserved this Universal title run.
Do you think the crowd is more happy that Seth won or Brock lost?
Brock lost.
Yeah.
We left, lost some more.
No, I just had a bit of both.
Just taking it all in.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not used to Mark being so quiet.
I'm just taking a breather because I haven't shut up for the first part. So everybody else get a word in.
You deserve it.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to say about this match. I think it was the right call in everything they did, and it was a great way to get the pay-per-view off to a hot start.
I'm happy with that. I want them to keep Rollins as face. I don't really know where they go next with the. I mean, let's be honest. Regardless of what we think of Brock and his, sort of hoarding the championship for quite a long time, as a heel, as a dominant heel, his shoes are quite big to fill.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with who's going to be the challenge for Seth from this point, because Brock steamrolled everybody, so who's a legitimate replacement to be the chasing heel, you know?
That's why they should have had Drew win. So.
I reckon they'll probably go down, a face-face thing for a while, you know? I wouldn't be surprised if they even go down Reigns and Seth for a bit, like friends who want the belt kind of thing, like at each other, then one of them eventually turns, maybe.
I want Roman to turn and join, like an Usos joins him, and he's got his like little lackeys, but the Usos are amazing.
What they can do with them, I think they'll ride the wave of sympathy for a while, and then once they've got the fans like fully buying it, which they already do, but once they, milk it a bit more, sell a few more t-shirts.
If you notice in the match, they're not booing him anymore, they're not cheering him.
They're not, they're sort of like, well, that's the thing. They don't like him, but they don't want to be the ones who are booing somebody who's just beaten. Let's be honest. I think that's what's happening. They don't want to be the fan that's booing the person who's just beaten cancer. And I think that's what's happening at the moment. They're all very, very happy for him, like legitimately happy for him, but they don't want to cheer him as a wrestler all of a sudden because they're two very separate things. And I think they're being forced to believe that they're the same thing. It's the same thing. It's not. The people don't like him because he was shoved down the throats. A lot of people, I'm not necessarily speaking from my point of view here, I'm just speaking in general, you know. And all of a sudden, I think they need to be very careful with this, with this concept of, you know, him beating cancer, because how far do they push it until people legitimately think, I'm sick of hearing about it?
Yeah. I think they pretty much need to stop talking about it now, I think. I think
he's done it, and everybody thinks it's fantastic he's done it, and hopefully it's raised a lot of awareness for charities that they work with, and they haven't just they haven't just money milked it. Hopefully they have created a lot of buzz for the charities that they work with and stuff, and done good things with that. But I think they now need to sort of move on with the wrestling side of things, and you know, just see what happens again. Because to be honest, he's still coming out looking like Roman Reigns in exactly the same clothes with exactly the same music that people associate with something that they don't like.
And beat,
I said last week on the show, I was happy to let it off just for this feud because Drew's obviously quite a heel. It just happened.
Yeah.
I did like Drew's well. Obviously, I can't deny that, but I think for a wrestling purpose, storyline, whatever, I like Drew's comment of saying, please don't put your family through it again. Help the feud, fantastic. But I don't want them to go, I completely agree, I don't want them to go any further with it now. It's a real life situation, what's happened, yeah. And I'm not a fan of when WWE do bring in real life serious situations into their. Into the storyline. So,
yeah, it's the whole Ray Eddie thing, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's like you get the sentiment, you applaud it, and then it's just milked and milked and milked to the point where you're like, oh god, man, like every time Ray came out, he was wrestling for Eddie for about a year. And it's like, it's that kind of thing where you just think, right, come on, man, we're here to watch the wrestling side of it, and we're here to kind of buy into what you're, you know, well,
a lot of what's happened, but yeah, leave it as a real life situation.
Yeah. Be interesting to see what they do though with Seth. I agree with you. So I love him. That match at the start of the show, I thought was the right decision, and it got everybody on a high. I was running a pay per view party event in a casino in Newcastle for this Mania, and it was a sold out thing. So it was very, very, very busy. And,
I'd love to have gone.
Oh, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I think, you know, it was that kind of thing where people had been there for a few hours, they just wanted everything to start, and eventually came on and then boshed straight into a really high calibre match.
Yeah,
and I think it just lifted everybody who was knackered, let's put it that way, everybody's knackered. It was like having a shot of Red Bull or something, you know. Yeah. Just get in and we're back in it.
Let's move on to the Kofi result then. So I thought it was a great emotional result, a climax of a story, a guy who's worked so hard for so many years, so new champion, Kofi Kingston. So,
yeah,
we want some new day.
Like I said a bit earlier, this match was fantastic.
Yeah.
Probably, you could kind of compare it to Ryan versus Triple H.
Yeah, definitely.
From WrestleMania 30, in the way the storyline worked and stuff, but the twists, the turns, the is he gonna do it? The New Day supporting him on the outside, taking out Rowan. It was just so brilliantly done, and kind of like the Gargano Cole of WrestleMania. I would put it in that kind of category. I thought this was absolutely fantastic. Based on the fact that, obviously, for 11 years he's been scratching and clawing and trying to get through the glass ceiling, and then for him to finally do it clean in the middle of the ring was a fantastic WrestleMania moment.
Did you buy into the build-up prior to Mania, Oliver? Like, were you fully invested? Because I know there's like sort of two traffic, sort of like two systems, if you like, here in terms of people, how they thought about Kofi going into Mania. Did you buy the whole storyline and see him as a viable opponent before, you know, for the last couple of months, the whole duration, or was it just like in the last week or so it clicked, or what?
See, in this instance, Mark, if you go back to when Kofi was feuding with Randy Orton, they could have pulled the trigger on him then, and they didn't. So, you know, and obviously when the New Day went against the Vaudevillains and they did that time travel thing that Nick's been working on to go back to New Orleans.
S.O.S.
Kofi said that 2009 was his best year because obviously he was shooting with Orton. So they've had the opportunity to pull the trigger for the longest time. The only thing was this came at the expense of Mustafa Ali, obviously Ali now, and I really hate the name change. It come at his expense because obviously he got injured, so it should have been Ali in this situation, and then to kind of switch it to Kofi, you got behind the story straight away because it's been 11 years. You've seen him get the IC title, the tag titles with Punk and Evan Bourne, the US title, etc., etc., building his way up, and then obviously tag team champions with the New Day, and then you just got to put the New Day to the one side, and then during that gauntlet match, the first one, you kind of saw it all, and you're just like, whoa, where's this Kofi Kingston been? And then I bought into it then. And then during the Elimination Chamber, once again, he gets so close, and you're buying into it, but all the obstacles put in his way, it all really added to the story. So, gutted that it didn't work out for Mustafa Ali. I'll still call him that. But yeah, bought into Kofi Kingston after the Gauntlet match when he gave the performance of a lifetime.
Personally, I think going into this, until a few couple of weeks back, I wasn't convinced.
No.
I wasn't sold that Kofi was was the right person to go with at all. I think personally for me, that's no disrespect to Kofi, but I see him as the second strongest person in terms of who I want to break away from New Day. I see him as the second person in New Day. For me, it's always been about Big E, and I've always been waiting for him to break away and then make that state, that presence. I'm waiting for him still to become. You never know. This could lead somewhere really interesting. Who knows? But I've always been a big admirer of Big E, and thought that there was something additional about him where he could go the whole way with it.
I think it could be interesting if one of the New Day wins Money in the Bank.
Oh, it could be very interesting. I think until recently, until the last couple of weeks, I wasn't sold on Kofi going the whole distance with it. But actually, if you look, as you said yourself there, Oliver, the whole storyline, when it's painted the way it's been painted, then there's the lineage and there's a mileage to the storyline, which massively helps. And until they reminded you, I think the problem was it was easily forgettable.
Yeah.
And then now that they reminded you, it's like, all right, fair enough. And then I've watched Mania and I'm like, right, I completely get it now. Like, it makes a lot more sense now. And it made a lot more sense in who his opponent was as well. Because I don't think you could have had Big E going up against Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan, the one who was the sort of the teacher, if you like,
yeah,
the one schooling the match. It wouldn't have made sense. Bryan needed to go against somebody who's either a similar size to him or smaller. And for that to work, that dynamic to work, and just little things like that made it work that extra bit more for me. But I think it's the right thing to do. It's going to be interesting to see where they go with it. I honestly don't trust WWE with it, and I think that they're going to make him just a basic transitional champion. Yeah. I can't see it being anything more than a couple of months run of that.
Well, he's the first black champion that he needs to make something out of it.
I hope they do. I hope they do. But I don't trust them to do it. I think it's almost, dare I say, oh God, it's a bit cringy, but it's almost a little bit like, you know what Vince is like, let's be honest. It's like, right, which boxes do we need to tick? Let's do something with the women. We'll put them on as a WrestleMania main event. Are they going to go any further with that now? Or is that kind of like, right, the fact, you know, has the quota been ticked? I don't know. I don't know where they're going with it. I hope it's not the case, but you just can't tell with WWE, with their decision-making, i.e. Saudi Arabia, etc., etc. You know, you don't really know where they're going with it or what they're... If they're fully invested themselves into what they're doing, or if it's to tick boxes.
Yeah, if you go back to Brian, he was my MVP of the whole Mania. Just how heelish he was and his facial expressions, how evil he looked when he was torturing Kofi.
I thought he's been amazing. I think, without sidetracking too much, I think I think Shane and Miz have played an absolute blinder over the last 2 to 3 months as well. I think they've been nothing short of spectacular. I've loved it. I've absolutely loved it. I'm not somebody who hates Shane, so I think I'm quite lucky with that. I don't love him, but I don't hate him. And
you
I
sound to be like Kevin Keegan then, Mark.
I'd love it if we beat them.
But going back to the Kofi Bryan match as well, I understand how historic the women's triple threat match was for Mania, first Mania main event for women.
Yep.
But in terms of the match quality, this could have quite easily finished the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with you. I might
get a lot of hate for that because I am 100% behind the women. But in terms of the match quality of the show, this was the best match.
Yeah.
It was the best wrestling match of the night, 100%. You can't deny it. It was, and it's credit to both Kofi and Daniel. And yeah, I mean, if anyone was there any doubts about Kofi, I think this match has sort of cemented it.
Exactly, that's what it's done for me. I was a bit undecided. I was kind of nearly won over. Wasn't quite, but then this match made me go, yeah, it makes complete sense now.
Yeah. So
and then the celebration brought a tear to your eye, didn't it, Mark?
Both eyes, mate. Both eyes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So last question of this section. So who do you think's gonna hold the title the longest out of the three?
Seth.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be Seth. I think that they've established him already. I think they know what they've got with him, and they know that he's... The last time he was in this position, he's built and built and built onto it to the point where he's just a megastar now. He's got the belt. They'll run with him. He'll be the face of the company for a bit, rightly or wrongly. He will be the face of the company for a while. I think that Becky, it's going to be a case of how quickly Ronda comes back and what they're going to do, because I think they're still undecided with what they're doing with the women's division at the moment. I think they're still kind of like trying things. I'd like to see them introduce an IC belt, so then you haven't got people like Bayley and Asuka and Banks doing nothing, which is realistically what they're going to be doing from now on for a while.
We talked about it on our NXT show that I thought it'd be a good if they made it into one big division.
Absolutely. We'll see how it goes. I think that's where I'd like to be. But I also think, as well, with Kofi, I'd love them to keep the belt on them. I just don't trust them to do that though at the moment.
I've got a feeling when they move to Fox, they want John Cena as champion.
Who?
John Cena. When they move to Fox, SmackDown to Fox, I think they want John Cena as WWE champion.
So are we assuming that Tokenomics is a one-off for a laugh, or do we think that they're going to try and do something with it?
It's a laugh.
He said he's turning heel.
Well.
In terms of this, you've got to look at who they'll face, respectively.
Yeah.
I think the superstar shake-up, is absolutely huge, because if you look at Raw, SmackDown, and obviously for Becky, both rosters, it's like, okay, well, who's up next kind of thing.
Yeah.
I guess for Seth, you've got Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's got he'd probably be feuding with Reigns, and he needs to win that feud, and then you can go on to Seth. Reigns and Rollins could be another match. Ambrose and Rollins could have been another one, but he's leaving the company.
So he says. Could he not just be going to SmackDown?
Mm-hmm. It's a possibility. And then you look at Kofi on SmackDown at this moment in time. Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan, depending on what they want to do with Samoa Joe, maybe him as well.
Yeah.
So there's people to face him as well. So I'm hoping Kofi, to be honest, because he's been without this opportunity for 11 years. We've seen Seth Rollins go with it. And it wouldn't affect him as much if he loses the title. Becky's been in the SmackDown Women's Champion as well, back in 2016. So she needs this opportunity as well. But they've got to get behind Kofi, because if he loses this title, then he could just move back down the card, and that'd be an absolute travesty.
But you know, this is what WWE do, though. It's like, they'll put the belt on him, because there's been such a sob story in his rise to get there. It's like, there you go, then they'll take it straight back off him to add to that story. They've done it before, you know. It's like, I can't see it being as straight cut as the champion now who's going to run with the belt. He's like...
Me, Nick and Chris all think that the New Day is going to turn on him.
I think
that Big E might at some point.
Yeah, Big E.
I don't think Woods will. I think Woods will stay loyal, but I think it's Big E who will turn.
I hope they. I think they can have them all as friends forever. I don't want them to have it. You don't need to do swerves for swerve's sake. There's no reason to turn on each other.
I think that Big E would be an absolutely amazing heel champion. I really do. It wouldn't be for me. That wouldn't be for the sake of it. I think it would be the perfect time. And
he was the NXT champion, wasn't he, Mark?
He was, yeah. But I think he's as a character and his charisma and everything has developed so much in the time he's been there. And he's just, I just truly think he'd be an absolutely an asset is a sort of pain in the ass, really up himself heel champion. I think he'd be great.
Was he? Yeah. Was his old heel gimmick? His old heel gimmick was he didn't do three counts, he did five counts.
Yeah, yeah, he had the old King Kong Bundy.
Three, nothing, and five.
it's gonna be interesting either way. I like the fact that it's so uncertain. That's what's really good at the moment. That's, if nothing else, that's a great thing because it means there's nothing obvious. We've just beaten Lesnar, who you would for months and months and months. You just knew for a fact he was gonna walk away, walk into any match, keep the belt, walk off after a 10-minute suplex match, and then it was just so predictable every single week, just so predictable. And now it's like, whoa, what can we expect? We don't really know, and that's great.
Well, if you're looking for unpredictability, watch Raw after Mania.
We're looking for fresh matchups, fresh
matchups. Really, really good show, lads. I'm not sure if you've seen it, Mark, but...
I saw the first hour, I'm going to watch the rest of it before SmackDown tonight.
Yeah, I watched it before the show, and obviously Nick and Chris have been staying away from spoilers, so I won't spoil it for you.
Yeah, likewise, I've been very careful.
Really good show.
Tonight, by the way, lads, is actually nothing. What I've said tonight hints at Raw, by the way, just so you know that.
So I also asked a Twitter fan question, and 50% of them thought Seth will hold it the longest. Becky got 33, and then Kofi only got 17. Out of the three, I could see Kofi in the Battle Royal next year. You could go two ways. You could go that far down the card and be in the Battle Royal, or they can keep him strong.
I'd love them to keep him strong.
That'd be an absolute travesty, that would.
Hello, this is Flynn Arlo, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
So before we get on to discuss our thoughts of the rest of the card, we'll announce the results of our predictions. So I finished last. I got 15. Oliver, you got 16.
Yes, I beat Chris.
And Nick, also, Nick also got 16. So.
Nick G'd.
So
I'll get the win on that.
That can't be right, because I got two Dillinger points.
We didn't do.
It was just for WrestleMania.
We did the takeover.
The Dillinger points were separate.
Yes.
Well, you talk about unpredictability, Mark. This was kind of points wise out of about 40.
Yeah.
And between us 15 and 16 out of 40, 41. Mm. Shows you how unpredictable WrestleMania was. Because, you know,
do we give
to WWE for that, really.
Well, I was going to say a link to that. Do we tip our hats to, what's his name, Bruce Pritchard? Because apparently, you know, he's got a big hand in what's happening at the moment with the writing and booking of shows, and he's just general kind of, you know, the guy you go to again before you get to Vince. So do we applaud Bruce at this stage and think that he's had a big influence on what's happened over the last month, because he's been signed back for the last month or so?
Yeah, there's brought a lot of producers in recently. Abyss and Sanjay Dutt from Impact.
Hurricane Helms
is there as well. So they've gone away from bringing
Abyss and Sanjay Dutt as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
They're going away from bringing in TV writers to go bringing in wrestlers again. So that could be.
Steve Carino's still there.
That's the right way to go, isn't it? Mm. Say that again, Mark.
So Steve Carino's still there doing some bits for them as well. So.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, I'm liking wherever they're going with it. I'm liking it so far because they're keeping it unpredictable without it being ridiculous, if that makes sense. But they're keeping it a bit unpredictable, but keeping it still relevant and fun to watch without just being nonsensical and shock.
Isn't Dana Warrior one of the writers?
Yeah.
Is she really?
I heard about that.
I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad.
Take it back.
I think in this instance, if you've got people who know the wrestling business and they're booking the shows, that's when wrestling tends to be at its best. I said, obviously Brian, and I'm going to eulogise about this match because I loved it, but Brian and Kofi had a huge hand in the match, but you've got to run it by a producer and stuff, so whoever was producing that match, yeah, they need to be heavily applauded because I loved it.
Right, so away from the main event scene, the Iconics won the tag team titles. Probably the most surprising.
That was awesome.
So this was my most surprising result of the night, I thought. So I was convinced Bayley and Sasha were going to retain because they've been teasing a match on NXT recently.
It's iconic.
but I said to you when we were doing the prediction show, Chris, that they could change the titles and change them back before.
We've got 2.5 months, haven't we?
Exactly. But the Iconics, that was such a great moment. The fact that I called it made it even sweeter. But, you know, not bragging or anything. But yeah, you could. I just thought about the match itself, though. You could have had the Sky Pirates in the match, I think, in place of Nia Jax and Tamina.
Oh, they were useless. I don't remember anything they did in the whole match.
And if you think, then you could have had NXT versus SmackDown Live, and then obviously the Raw Tag Team Champions of, well, the Tag Team Champions of from Raw, Sasha and Bayley.
And then
if you had had Trish and Lita, like you speculate, Chris.
They were rumoured for months they were going to have a big tag team match on WrestleMania. I don't know what happened.
Well, exactly, and then you've covered all three of the brands, plus you've got Legends in the match, and you could have done that with the same outcome. And I think it would have worked.
It was a throwaway match, yeah. It was pointless. I think apart from Iconics, I don't care about any of them as tag teams. I'd like to care about the two monsters, but I don't. I think it's a travesty that Bayley and Banks are being used in that capacity for a tag team division that doesn't actually exist. That's what I mean. They're being wasted for it. Iconics, I think there's a lot of potential and upside to them. But realistically, they're the only tag team in the division that are actually a tag team. The rest of them are just thrown together for a laugh. They've only put Tamina with Jax because there's some correlation of
their cousins,
relatives, and they're of similar stature and size. Like, but other than that, they both bring nothing to the match. They've got no chemistry. They're awful to watch. Natty and Beth. I mean, yeah, they were the wrong duo to put in as the.
Beth looked great, I thought, for somebody who hasn't wrestled for 3 years.
I thought
they did well for obviously the situation, but I'm just saying, in terms of two legends, they could have gone with Trish and Lita. And I just hope, for your sake, Mark, you don't run into Tamina or Nia Jax in a dark alley.
Well, after the podcast. Well, you know what it is, though? I think as a tag team, I can definitely see there's something about them that would be fantastic, but it just didn't come out last night on Sunday night in Mania. It was a wasted match for them to showcase them as monsters. They didn't really get that across at all. They should have been dominating the entire match, but they didn't. And it just, I don't know. I think it was probably the weakest match on the card for me, and that's a shame because I was actually looking forward to what it could have been.
I thought it was a pretty fun match.
I don't like the idea of the tag division for the women.
Yeah.
I think they've gone with the wrong belt. I think they should have gone with an IC belt because there's far more women there for that purpose rather than purposely sticking people together to justify why you've got a tag team title.
the other big title change is the IC title. So I've been saying since we started the podcast that one of the criticisms of the Demon character is that him and Finn are basically do the same match. But I thought at Mania, with some of the kicks he was doing, and he even pulled out a powerbomb, that he's finally made something new to his moveset and made it away from the Finn Balor character. And he was acting so much more frantic, which I loved.
Yes, I see what you mean. And that spear by Lashley through the ropes was the right kind of brutal. I thought that was quite sweet.
I loved his green eyes. And I thought he looked great.
His contacts.
And his It was the most intense he's been since he's come back. I thought it was brilliant. So consider it was the match was less than 4 minutes long.
How high they were up the card.
I think they just needed it to be dark for Finn's entrance to work. That was the only hologram graphic that looked good was that swirl and clouds above the when Finn came out.
Yeah,
that's the only hologram looked good in the whole thing.
That's fair enough.
But where do you think they're going to go with Finn from here on? Do you think it's going to be a long term booking for an IC championship?
Well, he was supposed to be on 205 Live going for the Cruiserweight title, wasn't he, Chris?
That was a rumour I heard.
Well,
the rumour I heard, they wanted a big name to come to face Buddy Murphy at Mania, and they were going to put it with Finn. But that was just a rumour a couple of months ago. So.
They need someone in 205 Live to take Mustafa Ali's place. So, and another rumour was Johnny Gargano was going to go there, wasn't it? Until he won the NXT title.
Yeah.
They swapped the belts over, didn't they? They gave the United States over to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah, Intercontinental swap to Raw. So
I'd love Finn to move to SmackDown.
Well, that's the thing. They could swap Bella over to SmackDown and then swap
Joe back to Raw.
Once again, it's determined by the superstar shakeup, isn't it? Really.
It's going to be the most unpredictable night of the year.
Because he's defended the IC title against, and who can he defend it against on Raw at this moment in time? It's a bit of a
When's on Stuba?
So.
Kevin Owens.
He's back.
What was he doing?
Oh, he did nothing last night.
He didn't do anything at WrestleMania.
I thought he was still out.
I was convinced.
No, he was at Fastlane against Ali and Brian.
It's the definition of bringing Sam back and having absolutely no idea what you're doing with them.
I thought after Kofi won, they would have brought out. Vince would have came out to congratulate him and said, oh, but you're facing this guy now, and then everyone came out. That's what I thought might have happened.
Basically, Mark, before Fastlane, Vince said that Kofi wasn't going to face Brian at Fastlane.
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens was.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and then Kevin Owens and Brian were supposed to face off at Fastlane. And then Ali got added to the match. So that was Kevin Owens' return.
Made some
but he didn't do anything at WrestleMania.
I don't know why I thought he got injured in that match, and I don't know why I thought that. Probably because he's done very little since.
He hasn't been wrestling matches, he's been just doing the KO show on SmackDown.
There's somebody.
So what are your thoughts on the show as a whole? So start to wrap up.
Brilliant. I thought it was one of the best we've seen for a long time. Well, I'd say the best since WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it was a good show, and I think that four matches highlighted the show in general, which was the Raw Tag Team titles, which I really enjoyed on the kickoff show.
I did see it.
The Triple Threat women's match was probably my third favourite match on the card, which is quite shocking. But Batista Triple H I thought was fantastic. I wasn't expecting what we got out of that. I thought it was a really good brawl. And Kofi Kingston against Bryan, hopefully we'll still be talking about it as a match of the year come the end of 2019.
I'm going to have to go back and watch Batista versus Triple H because I didn't enjoy it at the time. But everyone's talking like it's brilliant, but I didn't enjoy it. But
in terms of a brutal fight, if it was in the Attitude Era, Chris, it would have been a main event, and we'd be talking about it for years.
I just felt it would have been really good if it was 10 minutes long, not 25 minutes long.
But in terms of the story being told, and obviously you've got to go with Triple H's retirement if he loses the match. It was just really, really good. I didn't expect to enjoy it because I said it was the one I was least looking forward to on the prediction show. But I really, really enjoyed it.
I think you've nailed it there, Oliver. The only other one, and Nick actually, I'd say it's probably the best Mania I've seen in close to a decade, I reckon. I reckon it's getting on for half a decade to a decade's worth of Manias now. It was a very solid show throughout. There wasn't anything atrocious, put it that way. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of like filler matches, but I wouldn't call them duds either. I think it would be fair to put Miz and Shane in the top four, five mix of matches.
I love that match.
I thought it was really, really good, and I think it's. I don't know why it's got a bit of a negative rap online, to be honest. But there we go.
I can't remember what.
I thought it was up there. I think the story with that. I've said this to somebody the other day, actually. I think if you look at the video packages of Miz being this face, like if you watch the video package. Of the last sort of few weeks of being the tag team, the love for his dad, then turning into vengeful Miz to try and get back at Shane, all of that what they've captured with Miz is exactly what they need as their lead face for the company. I think he would absolutely smash it because the fans already know who he is. He's one of those kind of characters who can be the absolute heel magnet. Everybody loves him, but they will definitely boo him because they're happy to, because he's the heel, but they love him at the same time because he's very good at it. But as a face, he's very, very, very good at it as well. So I think they can't go wrong with him. I don't think they can go wrong with him, and I think he's very accomplished. He knows what he's doing. I think he's very safe for them to use, and I think he could be that sort of poster boy that they need for the next 5 years, 6 years. I think that's all they end up going with.
The only bit I would have changed about that match, I might have covered the big giant cushion up a bit. I might have put some boxes, cardboard boxes over the top so they land on cardboard boxes and there's a big cushion underneath.
I said on Twitter, Mark, just imagine this because of the Miz's super intense wrestling style that's kind of come with him being a good guy now, that if the roles are reversed and the Universal title or WWE title was on the line, imagine Bryan against The Miz.
Oh god, yeah.
That would be incredible, I think. And just,
I think we're arguably chipped out with the idea they could have even gone with Miz versus Lesnar, you know, with Lesnar attacking his dad and then having exactly the same storyline. And then Miz being that sort of, you know, David and Goliath concept again. But I think they could have gone down that route as well. I think he's ready and I think they should pull the trigger.
He's
going to get, as it stands, unless he gets the belt.
And I just want to say at this point, if you look at the NXT TakeOver compared to WrestleMania, we're talking about five matches that were good, very good, or fantastic out of 16. Mm. And then if you look at NXT TakeOver, it was five matches out of five that were very good, fantastic, which is quite crazy. And the only other point I'd like to mention, something I was thinking while watching Raw, is if you compare WWE kind of wrestlers to the indie wrestlers that have come through, it's kind of, the shift has kind of gone the other way, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. The amount of indie wrestlers that are on the WWE roster compared to WWE homegrown talent, it's quite shocking.
I think it's the only thing that they need to... They haven't, the writers, if you like, haven't learned to adapt to that quite yet. Whereas you can see them, you know who they are, you know where they've been, you know what they're capable of in terms of the wrestlers it is, but it hasn't always transpired into what's written for them yet, into what they're allowed to do, so to speak, just yet. I think it's a matter of time before we get there, though. I'll tell you what, Mark,
if they don't adapt to it, there's not going to be any WWE homegrown talent left.
That's right.
It's going to be indie stars that have come in from ROH and Impact Wrestling and so on and so forth that are going to be the faces of WWE. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it. I know, it's cool. I'm really enjoying everything that's going on with it, put it that way. It's refreshing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Imagine trying to do this podcast 5 years ago. wouldn't have had quite the same impact with it, you know?
No. So, Nick, what are your thoughts on the show as a whole? We got your
WrestleMania events aside from putting them on. Right, we are still talking about Mania, right?
Yeah.
It's probably my favourite WrestleMania since WrestleMania 30. I know, obviously, because that had one of the shockingest, obviously one of the biggest moments of WrestleMania history there. But no, just overall start to finish, and I didn't find I was getting bored as well. Which, that long of a show. I broke it down. I watched it when I got in, and then watched someone obviously on my commute now. I thought it was fantastic. And a little thing we haven't mentioned. I really like the way they did the guest commentators as well, which I thought was quite cool.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I wish they would have put Booker T on a different match. He was only from for a minute.
Just doing it for Mania as a one-off is a good idea. Just a shame JR wasn't one as well.
Well, he's signed for AEW, hasn't he?
Did anyone rejoice at the fact that there was pyro?
Oh,
because that seems to be a big thing online, doesn't it?
I love it, yeah.
What pyro?
That's so much of it, I loved it.
did anybody notice that Bailey's inflatable people absolutely dying and not working at all?
No, I didn't see that.
I think they all went up, the inflatable dance things, whatever they are, and then after about 5 seconds, only one of them was still up, and the rest of them were just like on their arse and just sort of scurrying around the floor.
No.
And it was like, oh, come on. It's Mania, the one show of the year where you need to make sure there's enough energy and air flying into the inflatables. It's not hard, is it? Honestly, if there's nothing else, go back and just watch Bailey's entrance. It's like, it's Mania, for Christ's sake. How can you get
I've
that
watched
wrong?
That for 7.5 hours.
There's
no way I'm watching that back ever again. I'm not watching that for another 7.
I'll try and find.
I had to watch it in two parts. I did. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I said we got up on Monday morning. We got up at 6. We watched the first 2 hours for that to get ready for work, and then the other 3.5 hours when we got back from work.
I watched the
kickoff and an hour and 45 minutes on the night, and then the rest of it when I got up on Monday afternoon.
I think I have pretty much the same as you, mate. I was obviously at the casino with the event and set it all away. Then after a bit, then I was like, I'm going home now. Everything's working, so I'm going home.
Yeah.
And then got home and then had to obviously rewind it for X amount of time and then try to play it through there. And I think I got through about another hour. Then I woke up about 3 hours later.
Yeah.
With the youngster. And then I had to carry on at that point. So it came into like 3 stages.
Yeah. We watched like an hour and a half and then we had to get Isaac ready for bed. That was probably another hour. And
did anyone see the watch along with the superstars?
No.
They did that live on Periscope. That was quite interesting.
Waste of time.
No, I had it on Periscope on my phone, and I was watching WrestleMania.
It was
interesting because there were fans, which you don't usually see when you're watching wrestling. Of wrestlers, you don't get to see them as fans, do you? So, quite an interesting thing to watch.
The world has no idea the linguistics that I can cut because I will forever be Rohit Raju, the jaw-jacking Friday Night Impact, and his mother called him son because he shines like one, mocha-skinned manimal, representing the Daily Hit Squad, Daily Hit Dasteha, and you are listening to Broken but Glorious.
So hopefully on the 22nd we'll be interviewing former Cruiserweight champion and current X Division champion Rich Swann, which is going to be very exciting. Got plenty of interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks, including Rise of British Stars, Paradox and Big Joe. We have a partnership with Powerslam.tv where you can get 3 months access to over 110 promotions by using the promo code BROKEN3. If you enjoy our show, follow us on Twitter, it's at BBGWPod, and search us on Facebook's Broken Glorious. Mark, anything coming up for Grapple Arcade? You want to pronounce?
Well, we've just done the Mania thing. We're going to have a bit of a quiet couple of weeks now on the build-up to For the Love of Wrestling in Liverpool.
Oh, wait.
We're running a competition on Twitter at the moment where you can enter... what is it? At Grapple Arcade. One of our... I think it's our pinned tweet at the moment.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the description.
Nice one, mate. Yeah. Well, there's a two times weekend, like free entry tickets to the entire event for people who enter that competition. So yeah, get yourself on there and see if you can win a couple of tickets to For Love of Wrestling. There's going to be The Undertaker, Bret Hart, Ric Flair, NWO members. There's going to be all sorts of people there, so it's going to be pretty cool.
Virgil.
What else are we doing? We're doing another. Yeah, Virgil will be there. We'll be doing another. We're going to go another competition on the go as well. To win loads and loads of random wrestling memorabilia. The Fun Love of Wrestling competition actually ends this Friday, so depending on when this comes out, you've got until Friday this week,
yeah.
Which will be, what, the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th or something like that?
The 12th, yeah.
To enter and get involved in that one. More episodes of Hands Off the Merchandise on YouTube are coming up in the next 2 weeks.
And you've got a friend of the show coming on.
So. Say again, sorry, mate?
And you got a friend of the show coming on, Tom Campbell.
We've got Tom Campbell will be making an appearance. We've also got, I'm not going to give too much away, but some special guests from yesteryear as well that people might know about, which we're going to keep as a secret until the launch. But they will hopefully be a regular feature of the show going onwards from that point.
Wow.
It should be good.
Oliver, anything you want to promote?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he was going to... yeah, just my series of books, really, a fan's perspective. So I've written a book on British wrestling, I've written a book on WWE, and I've written a book on my WrestleMania adventure in 2008, and they're all available on Amazon, your local Amazon, wherever you are. So, if you've got any interest in wrestling and you want to follow from a fan's perspective, my writings, then you can see the journey that I took, really, from 2007 up until 2009 with the British Wrestling and WrestleMania books, and as a special bonus, the WWE book for 2016, which I thought was an absolutely fantastic year, and I documented it.
And Nick, I see that the Nick Davey Quotes Twitter account started up again. So I recommend people go follow that because it's funny. I don't know who runs it, but it's funny. Have you got anything you want to promote, Nick, before we go?
No, I'm all good. Fantastic show, fantastic Mania, and good night, New Orleans.
Good night.
You got it mentioned three times in there. That's impressive.